Speaking today with Trey Fleming, who is the Democratic candidate for State House in District 135, kind of out in the northwest part of town. Trey, first question I'd like to ask people is, why are you running for this office?
I've always been interested in politics. I got involved in politics back in 94 with Governor Bush and started out, as a college baseball player. And when Nolan Ryan was endorsing Governor Bush before he became governor, I had an opportunity to go meet him with my uncle as one of their pilots. And I had an opportunity to go meet him, and that got me involved in just, seeing the political arena. And when I met Governor Bush at that event, at that time I told him I wanted to work for him when he got elected. And he took a pen out of my pocket and wrote down a phone number. And I called every day for a month and a half. And one thing led to another. I ended up getting an opportunity to be an intern, an unpaid intern with the governor's office in 95 then. And, started out reading inmate mail, which was, the worst job anybody could ever have in public service. And, wasn't anywhere near the action that I thought I was going to be near when I first went into the governor's office. And went from that, and 3 weeks later ended up with a paid position in the executive office as a personal aide to the governor. And so I got to see up close, how Texas government's run, albeit at that point from the Republican side. And at that point, I wasn't a Republican or a Democrat or conservative or liberal. I was a college baseball player who had an opportunity to do an internship. And, had gotten involved in politics and watched the goings on and got involved in the Republican Party just by nature of my parents being Republicans and having worked at the governor's office and then, went to work for Senator Hutchinson's office in D.C. and just kind of evolved into the Republican Party and party involvement. And, after a period of time, I got out of politics, got into the private sector for about 10 years or so, the past 10 years. And began paying taxes as an adult, paying a mortgage, raising a child. Was married and experienced the day-to-day life and realized that once I sat down and examined both parties, there's more to life than a tax cut, and the things that need to be addressed by our legislature, public education, school finance, the funds our public education system, healthcare, transportation, immigration, which everyone's has told me to avoid that issue as it's a national issue, but it's this is something we need to take care of here in Texas. A lot of those issues aren't being taken care of. I look at in my school district alone, in my district, Cypher ISD, it's the lowest funded school district in all of Houston right now. It's the second lowest funded district in all of Texas. I don't see that there's any plan in place right now to address that. And from the conversations I've had, I don't think there's and expectations that's really going to be addressed in 2009. And if it's not, give it two more years and Cypher ISD could very well be bankrupt. These are issues that need to be fixed.
What was it that led you to, as someone who started out working under Governor Bush and then under Senator Hutchinson, how did you, what led you to decide to, be a Democrat and run for office as a Democrat?
Started out my business career, when I got out of politics, it was back in 97 after a congressional campaign, a U.S. congressional campaign where I was a grassroots coordinator. Got out of politics, got in the private sector, and I ended up opening a consulting office in Austin. For the company I was working for, I had a successful first year there. They sent me to Austin to open up an office in 99 at the time. I think after a couple of years in Austin, I started looking back at politics, just trying to figure out really what party I truly belonged to. As a Republican, if I looked at the issues, I was always much more of a very moderate Republican. I'm a pro-choice guy. I'm a pro-public schools. I'm not a big fan of death penalty. That doesn't mean I'm entirely against death penalty, but I'm just not a big fan of death penalty as a deterrent for crime. There's civil issues that lead me to be more of a moderate on the Republican side, or more of more of a Democrat if I were to look at both sides. In 2001, I got involved in both parties and went to club meetings for both parties, looked at both platforms, and at that point made a decision that I was much more of a Democrat. I don't know if that's the effect Austin has on you, but it seemed to work out that way, and I came back, and I'm still, I don't necessarily have a problem with the Republican Party. I'm not a hard partisan. I think we need good people on both sides of the aisle. In the last primary, I gave money to Republicans. I've given money to the Republican Party in the last 2 years. I'm not somebody that is going to go read a party platform and say, this is what I believe because it's in the party platform. I'm going to say, this is what I believe, and here's what aligns with this party platform, here's what aligns with that party platform. But in reality, I'm 85% of what I believe is more in the middle. I think that's where a lot of Texans are.
Okay. Since you talked about Cy-Fair Independent School District, I mean, as you say, they're one of many that is having trouble, you know, meeting its financial needs. What do you want to see the legislature do to put Cy-Fair and other independent school districts like it on a firmer financial footing?
You know, everybody seems to want to just throw more money at education and think that'll fix the problem. I don't know if it's throwing more money. I think it's throwing appropriate money at public education. The school finance model as it is in place right now, took three options, and the one that Cy-Fair took to decide its funding model was based on the 2005-06 funding that was put in place as the permanent funding number for Cy-Fair ISD. So right now, I think we're at something like 4,489 in per student funding. 4,489 per student is what we're receiving right now. And you know, it's the lowest in Houston. And if we were funded the same as HISD, we'd have a massive budget surplus right now. I think we need to have some type of a firm floor put in place, and they need to have, and I'm not sure yet how we fund it, but we need to have a floor in place for public education funding, and then we need to have cost of living adjustments, whether it's 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, whatever it is. There needs to be something that keeps up the cost of living and the rising cost of educating students in Texas.
Of course, all that assumes that there is a, you know, stable and growing funding base for schools, which seems to be the other issue. And the last time the legislature got together to discuss school funding, what they really did was implement a large property tax to be paid for by the new business margins tax, which doesn't adequately cover it, and which a lot of people don't like because they say there's too many loopholes. Right. What would you like to see the legislature do about the business margins tax?
We need to figure out how to make it more equitable for businesses because it's not working out as is right now. I had a call on it today. That was a big part of the conference call with the Financial Planners Association. I know there's it's not equitable between companies that produce services that versus companies that produce product. You know, the deductions they get for cost of goods sold. We need to go back and revise that in a way that's much more equitable between different types of businesses. I don't like the idea that if a company, you know, has 1% profit at the end of the year, when they go back and they tax the actual revenues of the company, it ends up putting them in the red. It doesn't make sense that a government tax should put a company in the red. So, and I don't have a solid answer on what the actual new tax should look like if it is revised. I'm still waiting on some feedback on a couple of points around that. But net is not working out right now, and it's not fair to businesses. I think some businesses have estimated a 2x increase in their taxes based on that on the new franchise tax. I think we do need to address it, but there's a lot of work to get that particular issue resolved.
Of course, something that some people have suggested as a funding mechanism, or at least a supplement for schools, is increased gambling. Your district contains the Sam Houston racetrack, so that's, you know, right. That's an issue that resonates, I assume, and at least in your district. What's your take on, one of the proposals that's out there is allowing video lottery terminals at racetracks. I mean, tell me what you think about all that.
You know, I am all for the idea of allowing Texans to vote on whether we want video lottery terminals in Texas. I think you take an issue and you put it out to the public and let the public decide what we need, you know, given the appropriate information, and I think the right decisions can be made. I am also all for doing whatever we can to increase the business value, you know, or the increase the revenues of businesses in our district. I think, you know, whatever we can do to increase the purse sizes at the horse track would be great. You know, it's going to increase we increase the purse sizes, we're going to increase the prestige of the races, and we have a shot at the 2011 Breeders' Cup. That's something that I think we need to take seriously. It's essentially the Super Bowl of horse racing. And it'd be fantastic to bring that to Houston. I think when they took it to Grand Prairie, you know, several years back, it was one of the best events they've had in years. I am supported by the horse track. I'm very proud to be supported by the horse track. I think Texas is made for horse racing. I think it's just a natural flow of Texas way of life. And you know, as far as gambling goes, I you know,
I'd love to see what Texans have to say about it. I'm absolutely open to giving Texans the opportunity to vote on that.
What about casino gambling?
I don't know yet. Full-blown casino gambling, there's a lot of numbers. I've met with several folks. They're giving me numbers on both sides. There's always a question of the social costs that come along with gambling. Casino gambling in particular. You go across the border to Oklahoma or Louisiana or New Mexico. The casinos that are there, I think on average 82 to 85% of the cars in the parking lot are from Texas. So it seems like right now we're letting a lot of money walk out of Texas, and the folks that are coming back with the same social problems that they would have if they were gambling here. I think we have the negative social cost of the gambling, but we don't have any of the revenue to offset that to help take care of those problems. And I think that's also a great potential source of revenue for public education in Texas.
Okay. In addition to, primary and secondary school funding, there's also an issue these days with the cost of public universities. In 2003, the legislature gave the universities the ability to set their own tuitions in return for not receiving as much money from the state. Tuitions have gone up considerably, and a lot of people are not happy with that.
Right.
What's your take on that? Do you support the idea of re-regulating college tuitions, public college tuitions?
I do. I have a four-year-old daughter. I've been putting money away from college since she was, since about 6.5 months before she was born. I've got a buddy of mine that I work with who sends two of his kids to college, and when he shows me the numbers of what he's paying right now, I'm quite honestly terrified. I'm putting away a lot of money every month, and there's no way that in 15 years from now, or 14 years from now, it's going to cover our college. It's something that Texans have a lot of challenge with in paying for school. I went to school on college loans. It took me out a pile of college debt when I got out of school. College debt and credit card debt, as does every college student that's offered 15 credit cards when they go to college. It takes time to pay that off, and it's a tough burden starting out with college debt. My debt's nothing compared to what the debt of somebody going to college now, or 5 years from now, 10 years from now, is going to be. When I was in college, I was part of I was a member of our student congress, and I'd been pushing for a bill that I had written that would have pushed for the university I was going to. Lock college tuition in for 4 years. If you graduate in 4 years, your college tuition will not increase. And right now it's increasing year to year, as I understand it. And it's difficult for a lot of students going to college. I do think we need to get back into it. I've got a visit with Patrick Rose actually tomorrow night, who's on the higher education committee, and I would love to chat with him more about that.
Children's health insurance is another issue that has, of course, been in the news lately. Also in 2003, the legislature, during time of budget crisis, cut back on the roles of people who are on the children's health insurance plan. Since then, some of that has been restored. It's mostly been a matter of what the eligibility requirements are and how often you have to re-up. What would you like to see the legislature do with CHIP going forward?
I think it's not just CHIP. I think it's a broader challenge of overall children's health care. I think every child in Texas has got to have health care, or at least health insurance, and access to affordable health care. Before we take care of the parents, we've got to take care of the kids. We've got to make sure kids have what they need. My sister's on CHIP. This is something, and it's very challenging. It's a difficult process, and it's frustrating to ever see a child without health care, without the adequate health care they need. Even if it's just the regular checkups and some preventative health care, they need to be well covered. I would like to see our legislature expand CHIP, and this is an area where my opponent chose to sit out. He chose, that's his one no vote he had in the last session that I've seen. I don't think this is something that anybody can sit out on. There's going to be hard decisions to be made, and people need to take a stand. And your sinful legislature will say yes or no, and not to step aside and choose not to vote when the issue gets tough.
The part of Harris County you live in is growing very quickly, and one of the things that has been done in the legislature to deal with some of the growth is to make it easier for the state to build toll roads. There's the Trans-Texas Corridor. The Harris County Toll Road Authority has been, you know, given more leeway. Not everyone likes this. You know, where do you stand on this issue, and are we doing the right things?
Toll roads, I don't necessarily have a problem with a toll road if it makes sense to have it and it truly helps address, you know, consumer, you know, traffic congestion, or, you know, local traffic congestion. You look at the Trans-Texas Corridor and the way it's proposed right now, it's the Trans-Texas Corridor is a highway through Texas, not for the benefit of Texas. And it's being positioned to us as if it's a reasonable solution for traffic congestion in our inner cities. You know, it doesn't come anywhere near Houston, you know, anywhere near downtown Houston to actually relieve traffic. You know, it's right now the way it's proposed, there's several spots where I believe there's an 18 to 20 mile gap between where someone can get to the side of their farm. They've got to go, you know, 18 to 20 miles to an underpass to get to the other side of their farm. You're going to cut farms in half, you're going to open up the border to whatever wants to come out of Mexico. And you know, there's not enough security checkpoints, and there's not enough focus on realistic solutions to resolve traffic congestion in Houston. You know, I've got one of the most challenging highways in all of Houston, being 290. And then outside of the main highway traffic congestion, you look at the three most congested non-highway based roads or intersections are right in my district. You know, you've got 1960 Highway 6 and 529. You know, they're way overpopulated. There hasn't been enough done to address just basic traffic congestion. So when you look at you know, if a reasonable toll road can take cars off of the highway and free up some of the congestion, you know it's that's fine, so long as the toll road pays for itself, and then when the road's paid for, the toll is taken off. These kind of permanent toll roads all of a sudden become a revenue stream for a city, and shouldn't be. They're intended to pay for the roads, you know, not necessarily the other services to the city.
When people go to the polls on November 4th and they get down to the State House District 135 race, how do you want them to think about it?
Look at if you know who my opponent is, and you know, he's a payday loan guy. You know, you look at how we want to be represented in the legislature. Look for somebody that is, you know, is willing to stand up and take a stand against the things that are going wrong in Texas. You know, so much of what we legislate is not district specific. You know, if I go work in public education, I'm not going to be working on public education just for Cypher ISD. I'm going to be working on public education for Texas. If I go work on transportation, it's not just going to be for 290. It's going to be for all over Texas. You know, we need to relieve, you know, traffic congestion all over Texas, not just in my district. Look for the person that's going to represent you. You know, my opponent's been there for 12 years. You know, unfortunately, you know, if I look at his record, he's graduating from 12 years in the legislature with a certificate of attendance. In some cases, not even attendance. You know, on the hard votes like Chip. You know, there's, you know, we need work to be done in the legislature, and we need serious people to do it. And you know, I think my opponent's had an opportunity to do his job and has come up short on several instances. You know, just regulating on behalf of payday loans and lobbying on behalf of the pawn shop industry, you know, is not what we're expecting in our legislature. You know, our Texas House District 135 needs to expect more.
All right. Trey Fleming, thank you very much for talking to me today.
Thank you.